You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
We're also here in studio with John Sprague from Keller Williams in St. Charles. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you are the team leader of Keller Williams, and as a team leader, you really are the motivator for the office. You're the glue that holds it together. You recruit new people, and you manage the salespeople and help train them, coach them to be their best. I wanted to have you on to talk about this topic of how do you get these people to perform at optimum levels, because I think not just managing real estate agents, but just managing people in general, I think this gives you a level of credibility, because the success qualities that it takes in your field really carry over to any field, don't they?
I think they translate not only into the business world, but also into the personal world as well. I agree.
And you have what you call the three phases of success. And this is not specific just to a realtor, right? Does this apply to everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what is the first phase of success?
Well, actually, Doug, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to chat a little bit about, you know, defining success. It took me a little while to figure that piece out, and I'm not sure that I totally have. However, what I've noticed is that success is defined by each individual. You know, success is whatever the individual is setting out to do. It's not implied by somebody else. And, you know, really, it's my objective when I'm working with an individual to insulate their goals and their success and really allow them to maximize their potential. And, you know, it really boils down to three phases, as I've actually found. And
yeah, so I actually want to delve into that a little bit, because when you talk about what does success mean, you are right that that's a different definition for everybody. And, boy, it's significantly different for me today than it was, you know, 5 years ago even. That's changed. At one time, it would have been all about money.
Well, absolutely. I will use money just as an easy metric, because we're all familiar with what it is and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, if somebody came to me and said, I want to make $5,000, $50,000, $500,000, or $5 million this year, I can tell you early on in my career, I would judge them if they said I wanted to make $500,000, and until then, they'd never made anything more than $30,000. And what I realize is that it's really about making sure we reserve that judgment until we find out if they're really willing to act like the individual who's making $500,000 a year.
Mm, right. Mm-hmm. Are they willing to do that?
Right. There's many people that want it, right? There's few that are willing to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can their habits match their goals?
Well, you hit a key word there too, Doug. I mean, I've noticed that all of the characteristics that really define an individual's success, or for that matter, their failure, I can put in the category of a habit, as I think that that definitely contributes most significantly to an individual's success.
Right, because a habit carries over to the actions, and the actions are what helps you achieve the goal. And you're right, when you look at that backwards, a lot of people, their habits aren't going to be there to produce whatever that result is that equals success, and they set themselves up for failure by doing that.
So if your habit is procrastination.
Right. May not be a good one, right?
Right.
When Tammy, success, I mean, you definitely recognize that, because money's not that important to you, and that's not really what success looks like in a lot of cases.
It's definitely a little different for me. I think I'm more driven by serving people, helping others. That's where I'm driven.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So the money, you want to be comfortable.
I obviously have to have my own oxygen mask on. I have to be able to breathe.
Right.
But I think I'm more driven just to make sure everybody's taken care of. And if I can help, if I can use my skill set to help, then that's where I'm driven.
Okay. So whatever that measurement of success is, we have the three phases to achieve it. So the three phases of success. What is phase number one?
So the first phase that I've kind of seen is actually really having a written goal.
And when you set those goals, there's the term SMART goals.
Right. So SMART. So specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely.
Right.
And so it's really about having that written plan of a written goal down, and then following that with a plan. And I think a lot of individuals are good at writing plans or goals. However, there's power and clarity and being as specific as possible as you could be. And you know, I see a lot of individuals, as an example, say, I want to be financially free, or I want financial freedom.
What does that mean?
It's a beautiful term, and that is a great question, because it's different for each person. And, you know, if that was something that I was on a mission to do, the very first thing I would do is I'd identify what does that mean to me financially? How much debt do I currently have obligated, and what do I need to live off of?
So let's rephrase that. So instead of saying I want to be financially free, to ask the question, what does that mean to me? Okay, maybe that means to be debt-free. Maybe I need to save $20,000 this year as an example. So that would be the goal, is by the end of this year, I'm going to be debt-free and have $20,000 in reserve. That would be a more specific goal.
Absolutely. And a great tool to use there is a net sheet. You know, and if you're actually looking at a net wealth sheet that I know that you provide when you're getting a loan application,
right,
and you look at that over the course of time, it's about increasing that net wealth. And that would actually help out an individual that's focusing on financial freedom.
Mm-hmm. And one that's measurable would be, you know, something where you're creating numbers that you can actually measure against the goal to see how you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then attainable. Tammy, what do you get out of attainable?
$1 million. I just had that go through my head. I just saw little mini me, you know, putting his little finger up there. Yeah, measurable. They are attainable. That it has. You can't be unrealistic with that. And that leads us to the next one. I think those. It's all just works together. Specify who's going to do it. How are you going to attain it?
I totally agree with that.
Well, when you get goals attainable and realistic, you probably see some agents that want to set goals that you don't think are very attainable for them.
I don't feel that it's my place to judge whether or not an individual's right. got the capacity to actually attain that or not. Only they can bring that ingredient to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it really goes back to something that Napoleon Hill said in his book, Think and Grow Rich, is what a man can conceive and believe he can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick there is actually believing that you can do it.
Right. Do you really believe in yourself enough? Do you feel like you deserve that?
Right. And, you know, that's really where the mindset comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really understand that, you know, that it's about understanding that you can, in fact, do it. You know, when the gentleman first ran the 4-minute mile, it opened up a new door for people. And now that's something somewhat consistent in any sort of competitive running environment.
Well, yeah. And to be specific there, I mean, Roger Bannister, when he broke the 4-minute mile, it had been 2,000 years. It was thought that it was humanly impossible to break a 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. Then in the next year, there were multiple other people that did it just because they knew it was possible, but somebody had to be the trendsetter.
So that's, in my opinion, that's one of the first ways to believe that you can do it is being around other people that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the timely is being able to do it, you know, in an amount of time that's realistic. So a very time-specific goal that I will achieve this goal by X date.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Doug, I got to share with you, I've found that most people believe that their life expectancy is as long as Methuselah's, by the way they put their time restraints on themselves. And, you know, it's my personal belief that you need to avoid as many deadlines as possible, external deadlines, and impose as many internal deadlines as possible. And, you know, really it's about thinking big. And by thinking big doesn't mean you have to double the goal or triple the goal. But what if that goal that you look to attain in a year, why can't you do that in the first 30 days? What needs to happen there? It would be the idle thought, the question that I'd be asking in those idle thoughts.
Right. Can you take some steps immediately to get a little bit closer to it? So in the three phases of success, we've only covered phase one, and that's to be able to set a SMART goal, you know, with a written plan. We have phases two and three. You don't want to miss this. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
If you're injured in an accident or hurt on the job, who's going to look out for you? The insurance company employs adjusters and lawyers to protect them. You need someone to protect you and your family. At Schultz Myers, it's always free to talk with us, and there are no attorney's fees unless we win your case. Call us at 444-4444. Or visit our website for a free case evaluation. Schultz Myers, putting you first.